Okay. Okay, so welcome, saints. Welcome to our Bible study this evening. We will, okay, there we go. God bless everybody who's just joining with us. We wanted to finish off this topic. I thought we'd do it this evening. This topic on music, you could spend a lot of time, but I think it would be more beneficial one day maybe just to speak with the musicians about it, because there's a lot of wonderful things that you can speak about this with those that are musically minded. Because a lot of the scriptures and a lot of the things we're looking at in music here apply to song worship, apply to song leading and so forth. So it might be a good thing one day to have, as we've done before, just to have a session together with the musicians, the song leaders, to discuss some of these things. I think it would be profitable. But as for us as believers, what we are wanting to do this evening by the grace of God is, I'll just share my screen here. We wanted, let's finish it off. Let's take this topic this evening that we sent out, is we wanted to have a look at the song of the redeemed. Last week, because we put some video on, we got blocked from YouTube, and we had to strip out some of those videos which we put on, you know, with copyright and that. So I didn't realize that they would be so fussy about just showing something really, really small like we did. But, well, they're very fussy, so we'll just be careful this evening. So let's open our Bibles. If you've got your Bibles there, saints, we'll read Revelation chapter 5. Let's have a look at the song of the redeemed. We're trying to bring ourselves to look at what is the right kind of song, what is the right kind of music, either in church or in your own time of worship, the music you listen to. What would be the right attributes of music that we would maybe be pointed in the direction of by looking at the scriptures? Revelation 5, verse 8, very familiar scripture to us. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11, And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Oh, friends, what a worship service that one is when you read it in Revelation chapter 5. My, let's pray. Father, what a wonderful thing to read about. Oh, Father, how we've experienced in a measure the fullness of what we're reading about there, and how we long, Lord, that you take us deeper into the spirit of worship, that you may worship you the way that the word sets forth the pattern for us to worship you. Father, may you help us as we meditate upon these things upon this evening. May you guide us, Father, in the things we say. May you give us an understanding heart. May your spirit, Lord, fellowship with us and teach us and instruct us and guide us and lead us and quicken us this night. And may you bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. So we're looking at this topic, the song of the redeemed. Last week, I think we tried to make it pretty clear. And if anybody watched, and I know we could go much further into it, but I thought last week it was pretty clear that rock music, when we looked at rock and roll and then heading into rock music, that rock music, due to its nature, the very nature of the type of music, the structure of the music, is absolutely unsuitable for sacred service, for anything to do with sacred things. I think we just tried to show that last week. It's the origin of rock music, how it's dark, it's fallen. It comes from Lucifer, a fallen being, and the beat of the music, the disharmony, the discordant beat know, which is just not a natural kind of a type of a music. And the effects which that music, even just the beat the music has on the human mind, even on the body, or disqualify rock music from being used in sacred things. You know, I think it was pretty clear. And I mean, if you, it wasn't clear last week, ask me a few questions. We can fellowship together and I can show you a lot more than we showed last week about it. Because rock music is the music of rebellion. You know, that's what it is. It's rebellious in its sound. It's rebellious in its nature. It's rebellious in the effect that it has on people. So, you know, it's not the kind of music should ever grace the courts of heaven again. Because ever since there was rebellion in heaven, the Lord's never going to allow rebellion again in heaven. He cast out Lucifer, cast out his angels, and he's never going to allow that kind of thing in heaven again. God is not the author of confusion. And rock music, rock and roll music, is the music of confusion. It ministers confusion. You can just see it by its effects and the way that people that come under its influence live, the way they behave, the way they react, the way society, since rock music has taken over, has headed so quickly down into the bottomless pit. We can just see that rock music should have no part to play in anything sacred, which includes church. And I'm sure, saints, if you and I are honest with ourselves, it shouldn't be in our music collections either. Because if it's not kosher to be used in the house of God, then it shouldn't be used in our private worship or listening in the car, whatever that it is. So I think we really looked at that one last week. So let's come away from looking at the negative. Let's look at the positive. We know that we wanted to have a look at a worship service in heaven here. That's what really what you've just been reading about. So we'd like to look at what is heavenly worship? What is worship in heavenly places? You know, let's try to get a few characteristics of this. And what makes a good song? What makes a song that the saints respond to, that the Holy Ghost responds to? We need to see a few of those things this evening. So Paul tells us in the Bible, Hebrews 8, verse 5. We know this well, speaking about Moses being called up into the mount, going into the cloud, the glory cloud, the Shekinah. And the Lord said to Moses, "See," saith he, "that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." So the true pattern of heavenly worship, the tabernacle and all that kind of stuff was revealed to Moses. And Moses came down now and he wanted now to implement in the worship in the camp of Israel, the worship of heaven. He wanted to bring heavenly places down from that realm that he'd been admitted to when he saw the heavenly pattern, and he wanted to see what was in heaven now be manifold, unfold itself in shadows, types, we know, on earth in the pattern in the Old Testament. But the true pattern of heavenly worship is the one we've just read about, which is immediately after the seals. So when the seals are revealed, you find the Lamb takes the book and opens the seals. It just opens a whole dimension of worship in heaven. We find this fullness of worship. And now, saints, I do realize that us living in tabernacles of clay, unredeemed bodies, with, like Brother Green said, the battle of the two natures, we're always going to have a struggle because we have a body that is not made for true worship. We have a human spirit that's going to hold you back from true worship. But the soul of a believer just wants to worship in the fullness of true worship in heavenly places. You know, so we're always going to have a battle in worship. You know, what we're looking at here is in heavenly places, in heaven itself, when the devil has been bound, the devil has, you know, and all these kind of things. So, you know, this is the full pattern of worship. And we'll see in the song that we're going to look at here is in the song of the redeemed, we're going to see there's a threefold heavenly chorus in this song. The first is the song of the redeemed. There's three parts to the song. There's three parts to this worship that takes place in Revelation chapter 5. And the very first place is the worshipers, now the redeemed, singing a heavenly chorus. They're singing the song of the redeemed. That's what we're going to see first of all. So as we read that scripture, verse 8, it says, "When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." So I just put the picture there. There's your cherubim. There's your living creature, the beast, one of the four beasts. And the 24 elders, there's the elders, you know, laying down their crowns at the feet of Christ. They fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. So it was worship. It was a song, as we'll see, that they sang. and golden vials full of odors. So we know that the living creatures, who are these beasts? Who are these living creatures? They are the cherubim. They are the anointing that ushers people to the tree of life, to the revelation of Jesus Christ, brings you now to Christ in your day. That's what is represented by the living creatures. They are the Zoan, coming from the word Zoe, God's own life. So these are anointed beings quickened with Zoe life. And their function is to bring the elect of each age to the tree of life. And that's how you'll find these beasts are always associated with a redeemed man. And the 24 elders now, what are they? They represent the redeemed of all the ages, the 12 apostles, the 12 patriarchs. You'll find that that's what they represent, the redeemed of the Old Testament, the redeemed of the New Testament. So these are the redeemed. These are the ones that have responded to the anointing, to the cherubim and the age. We're living under the anointing of the eagle now. We had the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle through the church ages. And God anointed the Old Testament as well. And his elect responded to the anointing and came to him, came to the tree of life, came to Christ, came to eternal life in the age. And that's why you find that these 24 elders, they represent us. They represent you and I. They represent all of the redeemed. And we'll see they tie together in this worship as they start this song now. It says the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. So you're going to find that this anointing, yeah, that was on the bride down through the ages and so forth, the same anointing is in heavenly places. When you get there, it's going to be that same anointing, the same anointing that quickened you unto life in this realm, the same anointing that quickened you in the word. You find it now quickens them in worship when you get into this realm of worship in heavenly places. So you find the bride now, the elect of the ages, is singing together in harmony with these living creatures. Now this is heavenly worship. It's quickened by the very atmosphere. They're in heaven. There's no more Satan to accuse. There's no more Satan to oppose. There's no more darkness now to hold back the redeemed from worship. The song of the redeemed, friends, this is really, really worship. It's quickened. These are true worshipers. They're worshiping in spirit and they're worshiping in truth. Just as much as, like I say, you've responded to the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the unction that's proceeded from the throne, that cherub that has come forth to usher you to the tree of life, that same cherub that brings you the tree of life is the same cherub that'll quicken you in worship so that you can worship acceptably. It'll quicken you so that you can believe and walk acceptably. And you find that these 24 elders now, they're together with these cherubim in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And friends, that's where true worship is. It's in heavenly places. The true worship. What is the Father seeking today? He's seeking them that will worship him in spirit and in truth. What a wonderful thing. It says there just after the purple part, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. What does that represent? That's wholehearted worship. That's holding nothing back in your worship. Our friends, what a blessed thing it'll be on that day when we have a body that matches our soul. Our soul that's redeemed will have a body that matches that soul. And your body will want to worship, will respond to worship just as much as your soul does now. There'll be no spiritual interference. There'll be no obstructions and obstacles in your worship, but just genuine, true, pure worship in spirit and in truth. That is what is soul quenching. That is what pleases the Father. That is what pleases the souls of the elect. So that is what's happening in heaven. And it says about them, it says, and they sung a new song. We could look at that sometime, but a new song. That word new doesn't only mean new like it's brand new. It means fresh, something that has been revived. Like when the seals are opened, the book becomes a new book. When the Lord quickens the scripture to you, it becomes a new scripture to you. It's always been there, but it's quickened now to you. And when you get into the spirit of real worship, you'll take the old songs, you'll take new songs, whichever songs that it is that God has inspired. And many of those songs which you were falling asleep when you were singing about before in church, when you get into the spirit and that song ministers to you at that time, that song becomes a new song. You say, wow, that's a wonderful song, just like a scripture becomes a new scripture to you. It's always been there, but when it's quickened now, it becomes a new scripture. And now they take this old theme, they're going to take redemption, and they're going to sing a new song because of the atmosphere, because of the quickening power that is there. This worship now becomes a new song. It's a fresh song. It's fresh worship that's coming forth. It's not old and stale, but it's fresh. It's spiritual worship. I love when Brother Ram says about David when he was so thirsty. And he said, oh, that I might drink from the waters of the well that is by the gates of Bethlehem. And those mighty men that were around him, that his wish was their command. And they fought through those 15 miles of Philistines and got him water from the well of Bethlehem and brought it back to him to quench his thirst. And he took it and he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. And he says, I cannot drink this. This is the blood of these men. And the prophet says, that is typing Christ and the believer. Jesus is looking for, he's thirsting for genuine, original Pentecostal worship. That worship from that well of Bethlehem. He's wanting genuine worship. That's what he thirsts for. Worship in spirit and in truth. And he sends the cherub now to anoint you, the Holy Ghost to quicken you in worship as we respond to him in worship. So they sing a new song. This is the song of the redeemed. This is the believer's song. And we'll see as you read this song, you can read this chapter yourself. As you look at the words of the song, it's so powerful. But you'll find that these redeemed, the 24 elders and the cherubim, they fall down in unison. They have unity of spirit in worship. They're all singing the same song. It's the song of the redeemed. It's a song that can only be sung by the redeemed. There's no one else can truly sing this song. The songs of the redeemed, friends, can only be sung by the redeemed because you have to have had an experience which matches the words, the revelation in the song before you can truly sing that song the way that song is supposed to be sung. And this is the song of the redeemed. And here are the redeemed. They're fully, totally redeemed now. Body, soul, and spirit now before the throne. And now they sing the song of the redeemed. Oh, friends, what a wonderful thing that it would be that they're united in common experience. They've all experienced redemption. They all sing a common song. They sing in the song of the redeemed. And that brings forth a new song from them by personal experience. Now, I love what Brother Ram says. He says, I love good old-fashioned Pentecostal singing. Because, you know, the moment we say old-fashioned, many people start saying, I know people say to me all the time, oh, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to make us just sing hymns in church? You know, people say that. Pentecostal worship isn't just hymns. It's spiritual worship. It's spirit-led worship, but it's real worship. It might be, you know, a faster song, a slower song. It might be a chorus. It might be a long song. It might be a short song. It might be a song that you just repeat the chorus over and over again in the spirit of worship, whatever. You know, like the angels just saying, holy, 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 holy in the spirit of worship. You know, when you're saying Pentecost, like we've tried to stress, yet people still misunderstand when you speak on these things. The Psalms, there's fast songs, there's marching songs in the Psalms, there's songs of victory, songs of praise, songs of worship, songs of repentance, you know, song, all different types of songs that came forth from David's experience in the book of Psalms. The same as good old-fashioned Pentecostal singing. It's spiritual singing. It might be hymns, it might be choruses, it might be a new song. We're not speaking of the method or the manner of singing here. We're speaking of the spirit that you're singing it in. It's good old-fashioned Pentecostal singing, singing in spirit and in truth. He says, I love good old-fashioned Pentecostal singing, not the overtrained voices that hold on, yeah, until they're squeaking and they turn blue in the face. You know, these choirs when they're trying to sing and all that kind of stuff. That's what he's saying. He says, you know, that's okay. But he says, the problem is they don't know what they're singing. I put it in purple. Now, this is one of the keys. If you want to write a song that's a blessing, if you want a song to bless you, know what you're singing. Let that song speak of a common experience that you've had. Now, if you're going to write a song, let the song that you write be from your experience. You know, there's that song which the Brooklyn Tabernacle sing. I really like it. It's the song of the redeemed. Yeah, that's just where I got the title of this from. I'll just read you what they say about this. If ever you listen to that song, the Song of the Redeemed, it's really a fine song. It speaks about the Lord. And it says, I'll just turn that off for a second. I'll read this. It says, he loves to hear the wind sing. So it's speaking about the Lord. He loves to hear the wind sing. So when he made the wind and the sound of the wind, that's music to the Lord. He made it as music. As it whistles through the pines on mountain peaks. And he loves to hear the raindrops as they splash to the ground in a magic melody. You know, the raindrops, it's a sweet sound to the Lord. He smiles in sweet approval as the waves crash through the rocks in harmony. And creation joins in unity to sing to him majestic symphonies. And nature is worshiping the Lord in its own way. But his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. When lost sinners, now made clean, lift their voices loud and strong. When those purchased by his blood lift to him a song of love, there's nothing more he'd rather hear, nor so pleasing to his ear as his favorite song of all. So his favorite song is when people that have been redeemed sing to him the songs of the redeemed. Then the final verse says, and he loves to hear the angels as they sing, holy, holy is the Lamb. Heaven's choirs in harmony lift up praises to the great I Am. But he lifts his hand for silence when the weakest, saved by grace, begins to sing. And a million angels listen as a newborn soul sings, I have been redeemed. Says then his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed. You know, so there's that song that comes from your experience of redemption. What the Lord has done for you, what the Lord has done in you, what the Lord is doing for you, that realization, that fresh experience of redemption brings forth a new song. That new experience that he gives you brings forth a new song. And if you tap into that, if you tap into that experience, no matter what your calling is, that is the basis of true inspiration. He says, they don't know what they're singing. The people write songs, but they don't know what they're singing about. No, they just make nice words, put them together, make a nice tune, a Christian song, and it's okay. It's an entertaining song because, like we said, there's a big difference between entertainment and worship. That'll be an entertaining song. It's nice as background music. But if you think of what have been the real songs that have ministered to you in the days of your pilgrimage, in the different times you've been going through and the different trials you've been going through, different experiences that you've gone through, there's certain songs that have ministered a blessing to you. And you'll never forget those songs. Those songs will be precious to you in time and in eternity, I do believe, because they did something really to you. Now, this is going to hold true to any ministry. If you write songs, let the songs come from your experience. If you're going to preach the word, let the word, the freshness of what God is doing and revealing to you come forth in the preaching of the word. Don't preach a secondhand revelation. Don't preach somebody else's experience. It doesn't have that something authentic, that something that quickens, that something that is real, but genuine worship as well. That's why when you're not in a victorious condition, when you're being overcome, when you're backslid at heart, it's very hard to worship. Because worship is for the victorious. Worship comes from a present tense experience. Worship comes from a quickening power that quickens you. Now, those cherubim, they quicken you in worship like they quicken those 24 elders in worship. Genuine worship comes from, fresh worship comes from a fresh experience. And that's why you'll find many times we have songs in church that we've sung for many years. And it's okay. And then at a certain season and a certain visitation of the Spirit, that song just catches something new. And the church loves in that season to sing that song. And that song becomes precious to you and precious to the church. Remember the saints when they came from Lithuania, they said, brothers, years back when they came for Easter meetings, they said, saints, when you saints sing that song, Alpha and Omega, there's something special about that song. Now, that song was special to us at a certain season because there was a certain anointing and there was a certain freshness and quickening in that song. Doesn't mean the Lord can't quicken it again, but there's certain seasons when certain songs, certain inspiration comes forth. And that's what he's saying. You must know what you're singing. He says, I like somebody that maybe couldn't carry a tune in a basket. So the person can't keep a tune in their singing. You know, they've got a bit of a broken voice. If you go and listen to Brother Jackie Benton singing, he doesn't have the greatest voice, but his songs are such a blessing. Yeah, really such a blessing. He says, maybe they can't carry a tune, but yet he's had a Pentecostal blessing. Now he's singing about it. You see, these in heavenly places, these in Revelation chapter 5, they've been fully redeemed and now they're singing about it. That's what it is, the song of the redeemed, our friends. May the Lord help us in our worship. Or how many times, friends, we go to church and we are defeated in our singing, are we not? Because you're not victorious when we come to church. Like I say all the time, if we came to church the way we leave church, we'd have wonderful services. Because by the time you get to worship at the end of the service, it's always a powerful time. But imagine if we could come prayed up with living water experience inside of us. And we'd come, not everyone's going to be like it, but just a good handful of believers coming with an updated Pentecostal blessing inside of their life. And you come now and you sing about that. That's the song of the redeemed. There's something authentic. There's something which has a quickening about that song. That's a song that's pleasing to the Lord and pleasing to the souls of believers. Now others will come and sing like angels, but it doesn't have that same blessing. But there's that something now. When somebody sings what they know they're talking about. You know, the person when they come, oh, you see it recently when you find the sisters came and sung their items and then somebody will be crying while they sing. And Brother George, when he sings those certain songs, I remember when Brother George used to sing that song, That's Why I Call Him Lord, in the early days. And Brother George could never sing that song just about without crying. I remember it was such a blessed, you know, because it's real. That's why I call him Lord. And I was taken from his side when my Lord bled and died, the earth shook. Wow, you know, the words of that song, it's powerful. And you put yourself, and that song's real to you. It resonates inside your soul. You sing that song back to the Lord. You sing that song in his house. And that becomes a new song. That becomes genuine worship. Now, worship in spirit and in truth. Our friends, having a Pentecostal blessing and singing about it. That's how we saw the first week. We saw Jubal when he left the presence of God. Cain left the presence of God. And then his great-grandson, Jubal, he made musical instruments. Jubal knew nothing about the presence of God, nothing about the blessings of Jehovah. Therefore, his music was disqualified from the beginning because he didn't know what he was singing about. Even if like Elvis Presley trying to sing gospel songs, he didn't know anything of what he was singing about. There can never be a blessing in those songs. God can never bless those songs. Because what the person singing is not something which they've experienced, whereas the song of the redeemed is something that you've experienced. And that's where real inspiration comes from. Even down the line of testifying. Brother Ram says that an uncertain sound. He says, you may not know anything. You may not know split beans from coffee. Yeah? He says, but there's one thing you know. If your candle got lit, go and tell someone how it got lit. Maybe theirs will get lit off yours also. So you might say, I don't know what to say to anybody. Well, what has the Lord done for you? Just go and speak of the current experience of what he's done for you. Ah, friends, that's all that you should do. Bear record. That's the testimony of a true witness. Bear record of the works of the Lord. Let it be something fresh. Or maybe you've got to a stage, like we said, Brother Biscoe testifying that time, saying, saints, when I get to the stage that I'm out of the spirit of worship, I go before the Lord in prayer and I start to think back to the great things that he's done for me. And I start to thank him for those things. And very soon I get back into the spirit of worship once again. Let's think of what he's done. Let's think about his love. Let's think about his blessings. Let's think about the many things that he's done. And let's come to thank him with a sacrifice of praise and see how the quickening power will start coming back into your worship. You know, but saints, we need to sing something which is an experience, something that we know we're singing about, and then it's got power, then it's got anointing and unction in it. That's really what we're looking for. Let's get back to the song of the redeemed. What do they actually sing about the redeemed? It says, and they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book. My, look at the things I put in purple. Thou art worthy. The first thing they sing about. Friends, you're going to find one thing about heavenly worship. It's all about Jesus. That's what heavenly worship's all about. Go and get your book of Revelation. Go and see the song of the 144,000, which they alone can sing. The Bible says they're singing of the Lamb. They're singing of his blood. Oh, friends, you've got to be singing about the Lamb, singing about his blood. Look at they're singing about. Thou art worthy. You're singing about that only he is worthy. You know, they know where the praise, where the honor and the glory belongs. It belongs to him. Yeah. And you find out that their worship, this heavenly worship they're expressing here, it expresses, you find their doctrine and the experience are all reflected in their song. What they believe and what they've experienced all comes out in song. That makes a powerful song, friends, when you can take what you believe and what you've experienced and put it in a song or put it in a sermon or put it in your testimony on the street. You're going to find God's going to bless that. There's something about it. So they're taking, you know, you can't, some people like you like singing. When they're singing songs, it's like they're singing doctrine. It's like it's dry. Other people, you know, they get fanatical in worship. But worship is in spirit and in truth. You're taking the truth of what you believe and you're taking the experience of what God has done for you. You put those two things together in a song and see how the Lord's going to bless that song. The Lord will be glorified and the Lord will bless you in that song. So they sing that, thou art worthy to take the book. The next thing says, for thou wast slain. So they're singing about the Lamb, you alone are worthy. They're singing about, oh Lord, you were slain. They're singing about, and thou hast redeemed us. They're singing about their personal experience, saying, Lord, we're so grateful because we are redeemed. You've done great things for us. But they know the basis of the redemption is because of the Lamb being worthy, because the Lamb was slain. You have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Then they're singing of what God has made us. They're now proclaiming who they are as believers and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hey, friends. Hey, in just two verses, they've sung this song. But you can imagine the power of that song when John saw it. My. When you're singing that song before the throne and they cast themselves down and singing this with all that's within them. Oh, friends, they have a full realization now of what redemption really is, what redemption has done for them. And now that full revelation of redemption leads them into the fullness of worship in heavenly places. Oh, friends, I wish that I was there. We will be there. We have been there in a measure. But friends, like I say, when these bodies have been redeemed and you can worship the way that your heart wants to worship, not be restricted by a headache and by thoughts that trouble you and this and that, but from your soul, your body, your spirit, your soul will be together in harmony, pouring out worship to the Lamb because you're now standing immortal, reigning with Christ. And you realize it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the Lamb that was slain. He is the only one that was worthy. No man on earth, no man in heaven, in earth, or under the earth was even worthy to look upon the book. Well, friends, that's the real perfect theme of worship. You'll find it's the theme right through the book of Revelation is the Lamb. They worship the Lamb, the central theme. The prophet speaks about a Christ-centered life. He says every verse in the Bible speaks about Christ, points you to Christ. Every one of the prophets, it was Christ in them, speaking of them. He says, so how much should your life be Christ-centered? So therefore, our worship should be Christ-centered as well, friends, because that's what it is in heavenly places. So that's the 24 elders. That's the quickened by the cherubim now. That's the song they're worshiping. That's how they're worshiping, falling on their faces before the Lamb, saying, thou art worthy. And they worship. And then the next thing that comes in this great chorus, this great song now, is the song of the angels. Now we had the song of the redeemed there. Maybe that's the first verse of the song. The next verse of the song, it's now the angels now. It's like a choir. First the redeemed they sing. Now the angels they join in now. Oh, friends, it's a powerful thing. Look what the angels sing now. Verse 11, the next verse says, and behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. So he has these angels that are further out now. They're not seated on the throne. They're not surrounding the throne, but they're a little bit further out. But the angels now. It says, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. There were millions and millions of angels. And what do they do now? John hears the voice of these angels. And they said, they join in now this chorus now, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. My, that's a serious thing. What does it say? They say with a loud voice, they're singing with all of their hearts. Now they're seeing what redemption has done. They didn't need redemption, but she has all of the redeemed around the throne. He has people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation worshiping the Lamb in spirit and in truth. And it so moves the angels. Now they start to worship the Lamb to say, yes, they sing in harmony now with the redeemed, saying, yes, you are worthy, for the Lamb is worthy because you were slain. You are worthy to receive the power. You are worthy to receive the riches and the wisdom, the strength, the honor, the glory, and the blessing. Oh, friends. So Jesus is the central theme of this entire heavenly chorus that we're reading about. They give all glory. They ascribe, the Bible says, ascribe greatness to our God. They know where the greatness really is. They appreciate the prophets. They appreciate, you know, the patriarchs. They appreciate the apostles. They appreciate the seven church age messengers. But none of them is included in the song of the redeemed here. The redeemed are singing of the Lamb. They're worshiping the Lamb. That is the pinnacle. Now, there's other songs we must sing. We sing about other things, obviously. But friends, supreme, true, pure, perfect worship is when you worship the Lamb because of what he's done for you. That's the pinnacle of worship. That's the capstone of worship, is to worship the Lamb. So these angels, they knew him as Michael from all eternity. They knew him as the Logos, the glorious Word. They knew him, you know, they knew him. And then they saw that the Word became flesh. They were there and they were worshiping and singing to man at his incarnation. He was born and laid in a manger. The angels were singing glory to God in the highest. When they saw this glorious one, the Word himself, the eternal one himself becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. And they watched him, ministered to him through his earthly pilgrimage. And right at his death now, Jesus said, do you not know that I could call to my Father? He would send 10 legions of angels, 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels. The angels had to be restrained like the prophet says. They were saying, Father, Lord, just give us the go. We'll change the situation. When they saw the one that was beloved, the one they worshipped, was hanging on the cross now. He had become flesh. He was dying now, doing the work of the kinsman redeemer. They didn't fully understand the angels because he wasn't redeeming them. The angels had seen a fall in heaven before. They'd seen Lucifer and have a rebellion, and they saw judgment and justice, and Satan was cast down. There was no redemption. So redemption is a new thing to the angels, a new song. They're not singing the song of redemption. They just saying, but the Lamb is worthy for what you have done, Lord, to take on flesh and to die for your people, to redeem Adam's fallen race. You are worthy to receive all the glory. You are worthy to receive all the honor. You are worthy to receive all the worship. So friends, they're really ascribing greatness to him. And you'll see under the seals, this is all under the seals. You'll see what his perfect life, what his death have done. They've got a full revelation and realization of it. And as they see the redeemed now worshiping and singing in this perfect chorus of worship, the angels have to just join in themselves, and they come with their own song and they sing to the glory of the Lamb. And their song they're singing is perfectly in harmony. They've got their own aspect they're singing about, but it's perfectly in harmony with the song of the redeemed that the redeemed have been singing about. Oh, friends, then comes the final verse of the song, which is the choir of the creatures. This is a powerful thing. You know, in Revelations 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying. Now, Brother Bram brings this in the seals, and he plays on that word there. He doesn't say heard I sing, he says heard me say. And it goes to show the worship of the bride, that all of creation hears the worship of John representing the bride. But there's the two sides. If you take it to the scripture, John hears all creation worshiping as well. Every creature that's in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. Friends, what's the chorus? All of creation in some way is worshiping the Lord. He understands in that language. We don't know how when God made it. We don't know the cry of the eagle and the howl of the wolf, whatever, but it's worshiping God even in a fallen condition. But Paul tells us in Romans 8:21 that the creature, all creation, the creatures themselves shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, the children of God. So now all of creation will be brought back into the right condition again. And now all of creation offers worship. And like the prophet puts it in the seals, which is a masterpiece, he says, John gets so in the spirit of worship that all of creation hears him worship. That types the bride, friends. That is serious worship that's taking place in heavenly places here. But you can see the theme of their song. You can see they're singing of the experience they've experienced. They're singing of things which they know. They're singing their revelation. Now, their doctrine, they've experienced, it's become flesh. They're singing now what they believe. Oh, friends, that's a very powerful combination. All of creation is worshiping in this realm, waiting for this day. Friends, you can see the book has been opened. This is what the full, true revelation of Jesus brings forth. That's how when I hear of people worshiping this man and you have people saying you have to be baptized in somebody's name and that, I say they are so far from the revelation of the seals. They're as far as the east is from the west, because the revelation of the seals reveals Christ and you'll find yourself in Christ. That's what it is. This is the revelation of the last Adam, and we are the last Eve taken out of him. But the seals, the prophet says, what are those seals? They're revealing Christ. He says he is those seals. It's his kinsman redeemer work. It's his work of redemption. What he has done is revealed under the seals. And he has redeemed us and made us kings and priests unto our God. And we shall rule and reign with him forever. Oh, friends. So when I see people pointing to people and saying, you have to follow this big man over here. You have to listen to these people's worship or you're not going to go in the rapture. I say it's all nonsense, friends. They're just not in the spirit of worship. The genuine message of the hour came, what? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The message is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of the Son of Man. It's a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. It's unveiling, unsealing him, bringing him back, raising him out of history, bringing back Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the message came for, friends. The message didn't come to point us to some man in West Africa or some man in South Africa. That's nonsense. That's cultish behavior, that kind of stuff. But the message came, what? It's to unveil those seals, to reveal Christ so we know who he is. And as we see who he is, we like these, the redeemed, when they catch the revelation of who he is and what he has done, then they catch a revelation of what he has made them. He has made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall live and reign forever. Oh, friends, that's when you realize who you are. But outside of Christ, we have nothing. We're nothing. He says, without me, you can do nothing. We find ourselves in Christ. Christ is a mystery of God revealed. And then the bride is that mystery that was in Christ revealed. So you find, but it's all in Christ. He is the capstone. He is the headship. He is the absolute. He is the all in all. And friends, that should be reflected in our faith, in our doctrine, and in our worship, is that the Lamb is worthy. Now, yes, nothing wrong singing other songs, friends. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's keeping a balance of things. You know, in heaven, the songs, they're really, really songs of the Lamb and what the Lamb has done for his redeemed. Those are blessed songs to sing. So that is what Revelation should bring forth. It should bring forth this kind of worship. Then comes the final chorus. This is the grand chorus right at the end of the song, when all creatures worship and say, "He is worthy, he is worthy." Then what happens? The last verse of the chapter says, "And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." Oh, friends, so what is the end result of worship? What is the end result of doctrine? What is the end result of preaching? We want to bring people to this condition to fall down and to worship him that lives forever and ever, to worship him that was slain, that who shed his blood to redeem us from all nations, tribes, kindreds, and then to bring us to the realization that, oh Lord, you have made us a kingdom of priests, kings and priests unto our God. And we shall rule and reign forever. But friends, all of this is a song, if you go and read it. It's all being expressed in song, just like the book of Psalms is songs. The Song of Solomon, it's a blessed book, but it's a song. You know, your songs must represent you, must represent your doctrine, and your doctrine must be represented in your songs. And the songs and the doctrines must be the same. You know, because it's the same thing that you're doing. It's all centered around the same thing. Whatever gift you have a musical gift, you have a preaching gift, a testifying gift. You must all, like these, here we have the 24 elders, we have the four beasts, we have the angels, we have all creatures, but they're all testifying the same thing. They're all working in harmony, one with one another, testifying from their own aspect. Only the 24 elders representing us can sing the song of the redeemed. None of the rest of them can say it like we can say it, because we've had the experience of redemption. And we're waiting for the redemption, to wit, the changing of this body, Paul says. Yeah, that final quickening unto the fullness of redemption, that we shall have bodies like unto his glorious body, and we shall be with him forever. Comfort one another with these words. So friends, you already see just in that chapter, I just read that chapter the other day, and I was really blessed by this chapter. And inside of myself, I just said, oh, Lord, if you can take us deep into that kind of worship. You know, as a song leader, to have a look and pray and humble yourself before the Lord, as a minister, to humble yourself before the Lord, to say, Lord, how can we better be anointed with the anointing of this great eagle cherub in this age, to bring the people closer to the tree of life, so that people have more of an experience, more of a victory, because worship comes from that victory. Worship comes from that fresh experience. That's when the fresh worship comes forth. Is when the Lord has done, when the Lord does something for you and you start singing, he has done great things. And you're singing what you know. When you're singing, redeemed and how I love to proclaim it. If you're really redeemed, that song resonates something in you. Even if you were tired, you weren't feeling so well when the song started, but you started because you're singing something that you know. You're singing something that's in harmony with the experience of your soul. Oh, friends, those kind of songs, they really do something for you. Yeah, and if you get to Revelations 19, I don't have it on a slide, but you can read it. The song when it comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's quite a few songs in the book of Revelation, but Revelations verse 19, verse 6, I'll just read it for you. It says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Oh, friends, you can imagine the sound. Imagine what it's going to be when there's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands of angels. There's a 24 elders representing all of the redeemed from Adam right down to where we are now. Imagine when everybody comes together and here the Lamb steps out on his coronation day, and we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Imagine the worship that's going to be there. Our friends, I was imagining it myself, and it just did something to me. I said, oh, Lord, my, when it will be like the sound of many waters, the voice of mighty thunderings, and it'll be saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, oh, friends. So if you find that worship is boring in church, or you find worship singing is boring, or you find your Bible is boring, you just need a fresh experience, because a fresh experience makes the Bible a new book. And it makes a songs become a new song. And that's what you want. It brings back a freshness, a reality. It brings back something that you're singing what you know. You're singing from experience. The quickening is real. The quickening is influencing you in your worship, is influencing you in your walk with Christ. And friends, that's why when you have a look at music, look at what songs should be listening to. The songs we listen to should reflect what we believe. The songs that we sing should reflect what we've experienced. Yeah, some of these songs are so shallow and so light. You know, you see some of these Christian songs. They don't have any depth to them. Maybe not to condemn, because we all go through valleys and all have hard times. But friends, it's lovely to find songs where there's a depth where you can tell, yeah, this person really, really knew what they're singing about. And you take the history of songs. We have a little memorial in our town here of the song. What's that song? Not I Must Tell Jesus. That's another one, you know. Too So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, whatever. Scribbins wrote it. There's a little memorial. He was from our town, Banbridge. And how his wife had drowned and his daughter had drowned. Then he got married again. Then his wife died. And then in the depth of his despair, the Lord gave him that song. And how he worshiped the Lord from the depth of that. And that's why that song has stood the test of time, because that song was born from the experience of redemption, from the experience of Christ right in the midst of somebody's sufferings. And you find all of the songs that have stood the test of time, from Charles Wesley, Fanny Crosby, right the way through the ages. You find there were people who were singing from experience. They'd received the blessing, redemption, and they were singing what they knew, what they'd experienced. And that's why those songs, like the Psalms of David, being the experiences of David, what he went through, they've stood the test of time, because they resonate with us because of the experiences we go through. That song ministers, pours oil and wine into us according to the situation that we find ourselves in. So, you know, listen to whatever music the Lord leads you to. But you're going to find certain music, it's got a quickening on it. It's got a blessing on it. You're going to find there's something special about that song. Pay a little bit more attention. Listen to the song. Find out sometimes who wrote the song. What was the background to the song? And you're going to find there's a story of redemption. There's a testimony behind that song. And that's why that song has become a blessing to the bride, a blessing in heaven, a blessing on earth, a blessing in heavenly places, because it's one of the songs of the redeemed. And those are the kind of songs. Now you can listen to another song in your car, whatever that it is. But I think we've just tried to distinguish two things as we finish off. We focus on what is rock music, the beat, the kind of music, the kind of lyrics and all that. And now we're trying to look at the songs of the redeemed. What is real spiritual heavenly music? Yeah. And then people will be saying, now you want us to listen to hymns in our cars. You listen to what you want in your car, as long as it glorifies God, as long as it reflects what you believe, as long as it's something genuine and something real, that it's not just some pop something that, you know, these pop gospel songs that have no depth at all. They're just, you know, somebody's put nice phrases together that will never stand the test of time. No, try to find something that ministers you into the spirit of worship, or ministers you into the spirit of praise, that ministers you into the spirit of victory, something that quickens you in what you believe, something that speaks to you, that quickens you in the circumstances that you find yourself in, because that is the purpose of music. Music is to glorify God and to refresh the human spirit, to quicken the believer from the condition you are, so you can walk pleasing and worship in heavenly places before the Lord. So whatever music the Lord leads you to, whatever genre of music you like, whatever style, whatever, that's up to you. It's not up to us to come and look inside of your phone, inside of your iPod. The anointing that you have received, you have need that no man should teach you. But the anointing that you have received, he shall lead you into all truth. He will show you what's pleasing. He'll show you what's beneficial to your soul. He will show you what is really, really what you should be focusing on, how you should redeem your time when listening to music. And may the Lord guide us and lead us in those things, how we appreciate the new songs that have been written, you know, by the musicians in our church, how we appreciate inspiration never stops, friends. You know, inspiration, God still inspires people to write songs now. People are still writing songs of redemption now. We love those things. But friends, let's never lose track of our history, of these songs of ages gone by. I had a quote, I didn't read it, but Brahm says, I love the songs of those old inspired writers. The songs that were penned by those old inspired writers. Because it's the words, it's the depth, the truth, the revelation in the lyrics of those. So you can study those songs, and it's almost a sermon in the song, because it's a gift, it's a ministry, ministering to the bride. So may the Lord help us on music, and may the Lord guide us in this. Let's finish off on music with that, saints. May the Lord lead us onto something else next week. If you have any questions, anything else you'd like to cover, we can cover it maybe in church or at some other time. But let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we just want to worship in heavenly places and in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we look to you. Quicken us. Father, quicken our song leaders. Continue to bless them. Quicken the ministry in church, Father, to continue to lead us and guide us, to usher us ever closer to the tree of life, that we may always be partaking of you, of something real, of something present tense, Lord, that in our witness and in our preaching and in our singing and all that we do, Lord, it may be something which glorifies you, that we may, Father, speak and sing and preach of that which we know. Father, grant us that grace. Even as we come to a day of consecration on Friday, won't you help us to draw nigh? Won't you help us to purge the leaven? That as we come into your house on Sunday, there'd be, Father, the song of the redeemed would be quickened in a new way, we pray. And that, Father, Lord, even our specials and our items, even, Father, that those that you've given us as gifts in our midst to write these songs that bless us, bless them, Lord. Lead and guide them deeper and deeper into fresh and deeper inspiration, we'd pray. And may you be glorified and may it minister to the souls of your people. Now, as we finish this off, Lord, may you bless your people, we pray. May you help us as we finish off this evening, Lord. And Father, be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. Any questions, saints, before we finish off this evening? Any questions that anybody has just concerning songs, music, whatever? Sister Rosanna was saying she's sorry she couldn't join. So God bless you, sister, if you do watch this. Anybody there? Anybody want to add something to, or any questions, saints? The Song of the Redeemed. I do realize that it's a... Oh, Brother Sasha, go ahead, please, brother.
God bless you, Pastor, and everybody. I just want to share one my experience. Not a while ago, I felt very bad and sick in my bed, and I very serious bed. So I start to sing one song, and Amen. Hardly I was lifting my one hand. And when I was singing song, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I start to feel better until I was sitting and holding two hands in air and Amen. Praising the Lord.
Amen.
And when I was singing this song, like you said now, Pastor, I was thinking somebody must have some experience because this is what I want to express now to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There is no other words to say something. But that song, after I was singing another song and another, and every song was telling that situation.
Amen.
And I was believing somebody must pass through something like this. And I believe it's not only just song, like you said, it's anointing of the Holy Spirit. And like prophet said, God healed in songs.
Amen. Even,
and that was time that I was healed immediately. And I was sitting, I don't know, maybe until 3 a.m, I didn't want to go to sleep. I was singing every song with that.
Amen.
I was
Amen. Amen.
But
Amen.
At the end, I said, Lord, many times we read or hear when somebody say, I want to see your face. But I said, now I know what is that.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That was really worship from all heart. I don't know. It was really, and it was real experience. And
yes,
that was first time that I experienced something like that. So Amen. It was a big blessing. And it was the same what you are saying now. God yes. bless everybody. Amen. Thank Amen. You.
Thank you, bro. Wonderful. That's Thank wonderful you. Testimony, bro. That's very, very true. You know, that's why, like we've said before, Brother Vin said that years back, and I've quoted a lot of times when he says that, I think he said something like, you know, 90% of what ministers go through is not for themselves, it's for other people. You know, it's to bring somebody into a certain condition, to bring forth a certain inspiration, a certain anointing, because the Lord knows that somebody else is going to need that inspiration down the way. You know, so, you know, it's so much like, look what Joseph went through, most of it wasn't for himself. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he went through, his sufferings were not for himself. It was to bring forth something. You look at what Jacob went through. It was to bring forth something so it would bless us at this time when you see his name being changed from Jacob to Israel. You know, I really, really see that what you're saying is the truth, brother. That's why, like I said, that's why there'll be certain things that minister to you at a certain time. Because that anointing you need, that balm of Gilead you need at that time, that frequency, that particular anointing of the Holy Ghost, that particular revelation that you need, God struck somebody with that at a certain time in the Bible or in a song or somewhere, and God will lead you to that, and it'll pour in the oil and the wine exactly what you need at that time. And you'll never forget that. That song will always be precious to you. That scripture will always be a blessing. That particular message you listen to, or that particular, you know, whatever that it is, you know, it becomes a precious thing to you. So yes, Brian, God bless. It's wonderful. Anybody else before we finish this sentence? Anybody else before we close in a word of prayer? But it's so very, very true. You know, it's, I know even Brother Ram gives that example about seeing that woman dancing in the spirit, that sister in church. And in himself, he was being critical. Now, dancing in the spirit is, it's a powerful thing if you see it. Someone will be so gracefully dancing, perfectly in tune with the Holy Ghost. My, it really brings that anointing down. And then he was critical, he says. And then he found out the Lord really condemned him and said, hey, maybe you don't have enough victory, you know, because dancing is a sign of victory. So, you know, sometimes we might blame the song. We might say, we don't like to sing this kind of a song. But you know, sometimes I don't think the problem is with the song. The problem isn't with the song leader, but the problem is with the lack of victory inside of ourselves. Because when you have victory, a fresh experience with the Lord, friends, it doesn't matter what song you sing. And when you really have got a fresh experience of grace, you will love to sing Amazing Grace. But when grace is not real to you at that time, it's like your experience has become stale. You know, say, we don't want to sing Amazing Grace. Let's have one of those new songs. Let's have a fast song. You know, it's like, there's nothing wrong with fast songs. Fast songs are good. You know, we have to have, God is a God of variety. We need different kinds of, so we need loud songs. We need quiet songs. We need songs of praise. We need songs of worship. You know, we need songs that make us dance, songs that make us cry, songs that make us lift up our hands. You know, there's all manner of songs, but you know, I think it all depends on the spiritual condition that we're in. I think it's determined by that. Otherwise, saints.
Amen. That was good, yeah. Pastor.
But George, yes, Pastor. Please, Brad.
That's continue. All I want to say. That was very, very, very powerful. That was, it's amazing because, like, on both, you know, have the dark side of music and the good side of music. But with what you've given us last week and this week, you get understanding of both sides, because there's a fine line. There's the good side and there's the bad side. Like you said this week and last week regarding many times when we're not in good condition, we want to listen to light music. You know, the music that doesn't convict the soul.
Yeah,
you know, but when we're in good condition, yeah. You know, you find that's how actually over the years I've got rid of a lot of music, and then you find people later in life where you go and you know mixing with different people, maybe because they're young as well. They listen to the music that you actually throughout year, you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
You found it never edified your soul, it never blessed you. But at the same time, I've never gone around. I said, no, that's bad, because they must experience that for themselves.
Amen. Absolutely.
You know, but
absolutely.
Thank you so much, Pastor. That was powerful.
No problem. Thanks, bro. And it's true, bro, George. I really do 100% agree with you on that one there, bro. Is that, that's why I wasn't trying to, you know, in any way in these last weeks, try to point to any specific type of music to say country and Western is wrong or this is wrong. No, we're not trying to. That's not the scope of what you're trying to say. It's like we said when Brother Ram preached, how can I overcome? Remember, Brother Green said it as well. He didn't preach what can I overcome, but how. So when you teach somebody the principles, he says, of how to overcome, it doesn't matter what it is you need to overcome. You know the principles of how to overcome. And that's the same with music. If you understand the principles of music, now at least we have a measure stick. Now at least we have a plumb line to use to guide us at least in our choice of music. What does the music do to me? Brother Will said it very well last week when he said, you know, the difference between entertainment and worship. We had spoken of that once before with the song leaders. you know, entertainment's good. We do need that once in a while. But you know, to really ask yourself, what am I going to church for? The vast majority of Christians in our age in Laodicea, they go to church to be entertained. They don't go to worship. And that's the truth. And we all are guilty of it at certain times. We go then, we want the song leader to entertain us. You know, we want the songs to make us feel good because we're not feeling good. We've lost sight of what is it all about? Worship in heavenly places. We should be entertaining the Lord. We should be worshiping the Lord. We should be giving to him. That's what it is. Those 24 elders and the angels and everything in heaven, they're not there looking to be entertained. They're there to give thanks unto the Lamb, to give thanks unto the Lord, to give thanks to him that dwells upon the throne. Yeah. They're not there to be ministered to. They've gone there to minister. Yeah, and real worship. The song leader ministers us and helps us get to that place, brings us closer and closer to the tree of life. But the end result of worship, to me, the greatest thing I would desire is you come into a church and people are on their knees with their hands up. That worship has got to that place. You'll delay the word. Because when people get into the spirit of worship, like our friends, just stay in worship. Yeah. And that prepares the heart for the preaching of the word now. Because now people are getting real with the Lord. Now the Holy Ghost is dealing with people. The Holy Ghost is real in the experience of a person while they're singing. Wow. That becomes a wonderful service when you continue it on like from there. But it needs us all, like I say, to come to church prayed up, to come to church expecting, to come to church, you know, already in the spirit, where it's quite an easy thing for us to come to church saying, I had a hard day. I want the song leader to put me in the spirit now. You know, we all have those times. But imagine if more and more of us could come to church in the spirit. Wow. And the song leader gets up there, you're already in the spirit of worship. And you have a good group of you in the spirit of worship. Oh, you're going to have a time of victory now in that worship. Brother Gershon, God bless you, bro.
God bless everybody.
Bless you richly, man.
I'm trying to stay away from a musician's perspective. As you just said, Pastor, because I think we, and the song leader, I think including, see it from your perspective too, that we want to create an atmosphere for the word, yeah?
Yes.
Music. But I also like Brother Wills and Brother Sasha's point of view, where when you are in a certain atmosphere, the atmosphere that a certain song was created in sometimes is what you need for that connect with the spirit. You know that.
Amen.
That,
amen. Yes, bro, that's really good.
When the two atmospheres link up, very nice. Very, very nice. I think you might hesitate to say, but I'm young, so I think I can talk for the young people with that.
Yes.
The things that we listen to nowadays, like there's this one song that I heard the guy really couldn't. After that, I was like, yeah, this isn't making any sense. The one, I think Maverick City or someone said it, this is how I fight my battles. And that's the entire song from start to finish. And I'm like, hey, if they made this song in any other genre of music, it'll flop. Like it has no... No, anything to it. It's shallow. I mean, but at the same time,
yeah.
I think that if I were going through a time where I was struggling to fight something, that chorus might maybe have, quote unquote, hit me different, you know?
Yeah.
Because I recall vividly that there's this song, I think, someone in South Africa, I think, sings it. It is "We Want More." But that's most of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that point in what I can't remember what I was going through, but like I just felt like I needed to be closer, deeper. The cry for more resonated, you know?
Amen.
So I think that when you get to atmospheres, the atmosphere the song was created in, and the atmosphere that you are in, or the atmosphere that God wants you to be in,
yeah,
lines up. Sweet. Is it becomes very,
I think, just to back up what you're saying, Brad Gershon, it's like the scripture says, we love him because he first loved us. You know, so sometimes when our love grows dim, we need him to minister his love to us. Then the reaction comes forth and we minister our love back to him. It's the same with song worship. There's times we need the Lord to minister to us. You know, the song needs to resonate to us. The Lord needs to like draw near to us and speak to us in the song. And then it leads us into the spirit of worship. You know, so one leads to another. You know, the Holy Ghost deals with you in the song. And that makes you now have a fresh impetus now to worship him. And I think that is a really good song. We've said it many times, like when we spoke to the musicians, that that's really starting with praise, starting with those kind of things. You know, that it just the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But now there's a transition where the song worship goes away from being more about the Lord ministering to us. And if you can get it down the way that most of the people are ministering to the Lord at the end of the song worship, that's a great victory that you've had, because that's going to really, really achieve a lot of things in that kind of a service. Now, every service is different. Every situation is different. So we don't have any fixed standard on that. But your point is right, bro. I know that in myself, there's times I open up the word and I just need the Lord to so much speak to me, like you were saying there. And you find something the Lord speaks to you. And now the result is you worship him. Now you respond to that anointing. You respond to him speaking to you. And now you just want to say, thank you, Lord. You just want to worship the Lord for what he's done. So yes, the two aspects of song worship, which are equally as important. But I think you agree with me there, Brad Gershon. I've seen it been to like big mega churches and that. And you find a lot of people come to church to be entertained. They want entertainment. You know, I think we've got to be careful of that, because I don't really think that's the ultimate aim or goal of anything in church, is to entertain people. The ultimate aim, Brother Ram says it in the Church Age book, right in the last paragraph, he says, not for one moment do I want to make a name for myself. Do I want to make a church for myself? He says, my great aim is that I might bring people into genuine spiritual worship with God, a genuine spiritual walk with God. He says, that's my aim. That's my objective. So in the preaching of the word, in testifying to somebody, in leading songs, in singing an item, if you can bring the presence of God down to come and minister to the souls of people, whew, I think that's, you've really played the part of your ministry well. Whichever way the Lord wants to do it, there can be loud preachers, noisy preachers, quiet preachers, doesn't really matter. The method that you're going to use to get it done, you know, whatever God wants to use, but you'll know it by the results that it brings. You know, by that, if the Spirit responds now, and at the Urim and Thummim, if it strikes home in the souls of the people, you know, that's really, that's what I long for, you know, more and more, especially in preaching. That's really what you long for. It's so easy to preach to make people feel happy. It's easy. It's easy to raise your voice to get people to say amen. It's easy to use certain actions to make people excited. It's very easy. I've learned that. But that's not the result you're trying to bring. It's good to make people happy. But the greatest thing that you desire is for the Holy Ghost to minister to the souls of people. You know, that the word gets through to people. That is the ultimate aim. And in any ministry, surely it's going to be the same thing. So yes, bro, I 100% agree with you. But just to say about young people and their music, I've been in young people's places and I get quite shocked by the type of music some young people listen to in the message. I really do, because yes. That's why last week I went on to the principles of what is rock music, because there's a lot of rock beat. There's a lot of just noise and that kind of stuff, you know, behind the music. And I'd say, hey, be careful, you know, be careful of the type, the beat, the type of music that you're listening to. Is it kosher, like we said last week? Yeah, get in the spirit. Listen to that music. Like we said, does it keep you in the spirit? Does it minister you closer to the Lord? Does it make you want to worship him? Does it make you want to live a Christian life? You know, the Holy Ghost will teach you himself, but we're all guilty of it. Like I said, I purged quite a few things from my collection when I went through this series, because I studied it deeper than we've gone through here. And I went back and I said, ah, no, Lord, let me not compromise with some of these songs. Some of these songs are just a compromise. They're just an entertainment. They're just a noise. You know, I don't need those. It's not a good influence for my children. It's not a good influence if other people see me listening to that kind of music. And there's no depth in the music either. So may the Lord help us. Anybody before we finish there? I think if that's it, since let's ask Brother Max, are you there, bro? If Brother Max was there, maybe he could close for us in a word of prayer. I see Brother Max is online there, but yes, good. Thanks, bro. Yeah, let's just wait for Brother Max to get on.
God bless you, Pastor.
Oh, God bless you, bro. Would you please close for us in a word of prayer? If you've got something to say as well, Brother Max, no problem. And please pray for us, bro.
I'd say that last week and this week you have really brought two contrasts in the music, and it's really, really powerful. And you see, one thing we, especially our young brothers, that they should take notice of. That the other side of music, which you titled it the devil's heartbeat.
Yeah,
it was a really good topic for that. And you know, I've been looking at Isaiah 14.
Yeah, amen.
From verse 15.
Yeah.
You could see the extreme pride of Satan and his evil thoughts.
That's true.
And so we got to be very, very careful when it comes to music that belongs to the devil's heartbeat, as you put it.
Yes, bro.
Because his intention is very, very powerful. And it's a real evil thought. Extreme pride. You see.
Amen. And rebellion.
Look at him. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.
Mm-hmm.
Serious.
Amen.
You see. And I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. You see. So you could see that the devil, what he plans about how to win people, he's really leading them to something else, you see. So I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High.
Uh-huh.
Why? See, so therefore, take such teachings seriously, because there are things in the songs of Satan which really can lead you to a lot of things. You see, last week you really expounded on many things which I really love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really very thankful. You are helping us to.
If I can say something before you pray, there, Brother Max, is that when Brother Ram says that rock and roll music leading them to Armageddon, anointing, because Armageddon, like we said, is the burning of Sodom. So the anointing on the music, the frequency of that rock and roll music, it's rebellious music, it's sensual, it's unclean music, it's disorder, it's rebellious music. The beat is rebellious. It makes people aggressive, even physically. It affects your body in that way. You know, it's like that music, he said, is leading them to Armageddon. So your music is leading you somewhere. And you want to make sure that your music is leading you to Christ, whichever type of music.
Amen.
But your music is leading you somewhere, because it's music is not just a neutral force. Even the rhythm, the beat, the actual, the audio part of music, like we saw, rock music is discordant. It breaks all the rules of nature, just about, even in the way it's made. So you can really see from it that, no, this is something, even though it's got Christian words, stay away from that type of beat, that type of music. Very important. Yes, thank you, brother, for that.
Yeah. So thank you, Pastor, for
Amen, bro.
The teaching since last week and today also. It's really powerful.
Thank you, bro.
Let's have a word of prayer.
Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you the Lord, you always makes us to see the two sides of everything.
Yes.
That even as there is God, there is Satan.
Amen.
When there are things that are good and there are things that are bad.
Yes, Lord.
There is the truth and there is the falsity. There are light and there are darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, we thank you that always there is the Holy Spirit, Lord, to lead us, O God, through your servant, for us to know, Lord, the difference of the things of the enemy. As even in this age, it says it will be so close that even if it's possible, it will deceive the very elect. But we thank you, the Lord, the elect will never be deceived, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, the Lord, you take us through all these things for us to know, oh, the path that, Lord, you have laid for us. And, Father, as we hear these things, oh, God, help us, the Lord Jesus, it will be part of us, Lord. It will resonate right deep into our souls. The Lord, it will become a part of our life, oh, God. We thank you, Lord, for this teaching. And, Lord, we commit your servant, Lord, into your hands. That, Lord, as always, there is something that you give to him, Lord, to be given to your bride. Father, continue to use him mightily, Lord, in all things that, Lord Jesus, your bride will need us, Father. We are making ourselves ready to see your coming, O Lord Jesus. So we thank you, we bless you, Father. As even, Lord, today being the last day of the working days for your children, we want to say thank you, the Lord. You have kept them. They are going out and they are coming in, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you what you have done, God, for us the week so far. And Lord, as we look forward to enter into another new week, or even tomorrow, Lord Jesus, come Friday, where the Lord, we have our prayer meetings. Lord,
yes.
We pray that, oh God, it will be, oh Lord, once again, your Holy Spirit coming down, Lord, to take your word and Father to quicken us, and Lord, to bring us to a place of prayer, Lord, that, oh God, we will know that of the truth. Lord Jesus, the things that we will put before you, oh God, it has reached your throne of grace and mercy, and the Lord, you will see. Oh, and meet each and every one according to your riches and glory. And Father, as even the week coming, oh God, coming Sunday, Lord, we commit all also into your hands.
Amen.
That everything that we will do, Lord, it will be according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, we bless you. And tonight, Lord, once again, we look unto you, great watchman.
Amen.
Watch over your children. And Lord, if tomorrow be another day that we will see, oh, the light of God, we will rise up, Lord, and continue to worship and praise your name, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian. God bless you, saints. Have a good one, saints, until we meet on the weekend or next week. God bless. God bless everybody.
Yeah, God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.
God bless you, Princess.
God bless.
always, you become vulcanized to your father.
She's very good. She's my right hand girl.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless you. Carmel, God bless Saints, by James, by Ellie, God bless Saints.